Good morning, Trinity Youth. It's March 13th, 2024. This is Haley.
And Dave. Y'all, couldn't be more excited today to have another guest on the pod, a longtime friend of the pod. Sarah is somebody who brings so much joy into the room, and she's been doing this since the fall of 2020, when I met her, when she came on as a new leader, starting our new year with a mask on. I don't think I saw her face for about a month. And now we get to see her shining face all the time. Such a joy. She is the all-star camp queen running a summer camp all summer. Couldn't ask for a better person to do that. She is a former basement dweller joining others. Yes. And actually very related to the previous basement dweller, Luke Baker, you've heard on the pod. There's much more to say. She's dearly beloved to us and everyone around here. This is the one and only Sarah Baker, everybody.
Greetings. Yes.
Woo!
How many people have been in your basement now, Dave?
Oh my gosh. We're in the 20s, I think.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah. We're in our 20s.
Yeah, we are. That's what's up. Sarah.
Lots of basement dwellers. We love it.
We are so glad to have you on today. We have a question for you. If you could trade places with someone and experience the world from their shoes, from their mind, from their whole life experience for one day, who would it be and why?
I wrestled with this question because, and I told Dave and Luke this. I honestly wouldn't trade places with anyone. I really love my life. But If I had to, I think it would be really fun to experience Broadway for a day.
Cool.
You know, the like day in the life. Mm-hmm. I would love to trade places. Hamilton is going on right now at the Fox. Mm-hmm. So that would be really fun. And then my answer.
I would love to see you. Who would you be?
Okay, my favorite show is Something Rotten. I would love to do that show.
Oh, that one is amazing.
It's
That's a great
so
show.
Funny.
We're
it's
to Broadway.
It's so good.
I know nothing.
I saw that one knowing nothing. It just happened to be
yes,
playing.
Same.
And Virginia and I went and laughed
it is
my tail
so
off
funny.
The entire time.
Love it so much.
But if you were in Hamilton,
in Hamilton, I would love to be a Skylar sister, of course.
Skylar
I'd love to be
sisters.
Eliza, honestly. Brings out the sass in me. That's it. Good.
Oh, wow.
Keep going, Dave. That's good.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you.
Yeah, for sure. I think also
it's just funny because I know nothing about Broadway. I'm like, I have nothing to contribute, but I love your love.
I don't think we've gotten Haley to sing yet on this. I think I've done a couple little bars. All right, back to you, Sarah.
Yeah.
So one would be Broadway. And
Broadway,
also, as you
love my life.
It, yeah.
I think in this Lenten season too, I feel a lot of compassion towards homeless people. So I think in my comfort, I've never experienced like sleeping outside and the rain and things like that in an involuntary way other than camping. So I think that would be really challenging and eye-opening to do that for a day.
Yeah.
Or longer than a day.
I think your word voluntary, that there are a lot of folks who like they don't choose it. And they'd be like, why are you crazy people choosing to sleep outside?
Yes.
What are you doing?
On a mountain.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that would be really eye-opening and I think give me more compassion for those people.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, y'all, it's so interesting, like you're saying, Sarah, to try to understand someone's perspective who's totally different than you, who has a different life than you, whether it be Broadway or finding themselves in a spot that's just tough. And today we're going to look at someone, like a harder to understand passage from the Bible. At first glance, it's kind of hard to understand why Jesus acted the way he did, but we'll dive deeper into the meaning together. Sarah, would you mind reading the scripture for us today?
I would be happy to. Today we'll be in Matthew 15:21-28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Is that Sidon?
Sidon.
That's
cool. We don't know.
Okay.
It's old.
It's
Even
old.
If we're like, this is how you say it.
I'm an English speaker. Okay.
Yeah.
A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Sarah, great reading.
Sarah, thank you for reading really, really tough passage. Mm-hmm. If y'all missed it, it seems like Jesus is even being a little, just being almost cruel to this woman. So we'll get into that. And I'll be honest, I always wanted to skip this passage and replace it with a different one. But here we are. We let the word come to us. And I really think there's going to be some great stuff in it for us. So as I said, on the surface, it feels like there's some things that are really challenging to understand about where is the goodness of God in it. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the meaning of this Canaanite woman. What does that even mean? Why is Jesus interacting with her in a way that feels unexpected to us? So Haley, could you share some of the cultural significance?
Yeah. A Canaanite woman would be fairly synonymous with a Gentile. They'd be considered pretty non-religious for the time. They wouldn't have like some structured, rigid tradition that they are following religiously. And they'd be very much an outsider to the Jewish world. So that's like where she's coming from, the posture she's received in. Dave, in return, can you tell us what Jesus meant by his response? I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. If that feels like it's making her an outsider, seems kind of tough. What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, it seems really hard. Yeah. So, I mean, we could go really deep into it, but I want to try to cut to maybe what it means for us. And I think maybe one of the most important things is that Jesus had a clarity around his calling and what it was. And so his calling was, go to the Jewish people. You are their Messiah. They have a story of a Messiah. And you see the seeds in the Old Testament of this Messiah is then going to bless the rest of the world. But his call was clearly go to Jewish people and let them know. And if you continue to read, let them know that you're the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and fulfill what they've been looking for. And then as you see going forward in the book of Acts and later after the life of Jesus, those who followed him, they felt, okay, Jesus came and did that. My job now is to go tell the world. The Apostle Paul says, I am here to preach to the Gentiles, to everybody, a Gentile, again, someone who's not Jewish, to let the whole world know. As I thought about what it could mean for us during Lent, one of the challenges of this life is you want to save everybody, maybe, and you can't. You have to face limits. This is like Jesus kind of understanding limits. If Jesus just went everywhere, he may not have had the same impact. You know, they say that Jesus went 3 miles an hour his whole life, right? Think about how fast we move, how limited we would feel if we never went more than 3 miles an hour or never went beyond I don't think he went more than 50 miles from home his entire life, and yet he changed the world. And so that clarity of vision led him to say, like, this is who I'm here for. Mm. But then he realized, you know, if you're here for this, I'm going to lean in. So, yeah, this one's tough. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, this woman is obviously in a really desperate place. What do you think shifted Jesus from this non-responsive posture to healing her daughter?
Yeah, I see her faith so clearly in this. Like, she doesn't give up. In other parts of scripture, it says for us to seek and knock, like very active words that are not giving up and almost seem annoying in some ways. But a lot of times God asks us to annoy him almost. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get annoyed. You know what I mean? Yeah. But to constantly seek and knock in our faith is, really important. And so I see him having mercy on her in her constant knocking, and he doesn't give up on her.
Yeah.
I think with that, so often in life and in faith, we think that so many people are like, I just want to know what God wants from me. I just want to hear from God. And what I love about this is like, it's okay to kind of be like, God, like, I want to hear, like, I want to, like, I like really like want to wrestle with these things. Like, I like, he gives her a response and she's like, wait, I have questions about that.
A bold response.
Like, I like have questions about that. I want to know this. Like, I really like, I think that you have more mercy than what you're giving me. Like, she, like, kind of pushed back on it, and it was true. Like, there were good things for her to be, to like, on the other side of seeking. And I think so often we get afraid of that, and it's like, there's so much biblically where it's like, you can come back and be like, God, like, this is really the desire that I have. Like, and it's for a good thing. It's for healing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's your heart, too. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Hearing this, is talking about getting to the other side of really hard things. That's what we see play out here. What do y'all think this interaction does at our walks with God today?
Yeah, I think it means to be in prayer, to be asking. A lot of the times we will know God's character, but we won't necessarily like proclaim that and say like, God, this is who you are. You said you'll do this. Mm-hmm. Then like, do it, be who you say you are. And we see that in scripture being kind of the response between humans and God. And I think the Lord wants us to ask, wants to be in relationship with us. So yeah, I think about like, okay, what are the places that I want something to happen, or I want to see healing, or I see my friend suffering, mm-hmm. or I'm suffering, but maybe I'm not being proactive in asking, like really on the knees asking and begging, being desperate for God to move.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said, Sarah, about reminding God of who he is, mm-hmm. In the promises of the Lord, who he's shown himself to be through the story of scripture that we see revealed. I know there's a prayer a lot that will say, Lord, if it's your will, I kind of sort of want this to happen. and I think there's freedom to say, ask for what you want boldly. Mm-hmm. And it may be that the Lord knows, you know, there's scriptures later in Luke, you can see particularly Luke 11, where God says, I'm not going to give you a bad thing if you ask for something. I'm going to give you what you need. Mm-hmm. But ask for it boldly. And that's the same passage, like, beat down the door and ask almost annoyingly for the thing that you want, mm-hmm. without hedging, without conditioning it and saying, oh, I don't know, is it okay for me to ask? Like, ask. Mm-hmm. What is it that you want? Sarah, when you described that, I was wondering, do you have a time in your life that you remember asking for the thing that you really wanted?
Yeah, I actually told someone this yesterday, and this is going to sound a little silly. I remember praying for, this was in college, I was at a Christian school at Liberty, and so everyone's there to get their MRS degree. Like,
explain MRS.
MRS. Yeah, MRS. I was still on pod. I was going to. Yeah. So the MRS degree is becoming a Mrs., like finding a husband.
Ring by spring.
Ring by spring, yes. And that was kind of the focus of so many girls in school, and I obviously had the same focus at some point. So
obvious.
I don't know. I was all about it, and so I remember praying. I had met this person and I was like, man, their last name sounds good with mine. So let's see. And I remember praying about it. I was like, God, I really think this is it. Like, I think this is a guy. Obviously it's not, because Luke Baker is the man of my dreams, but he's incredible.
What a stud. Shout out to friend of the pod, former guest, maybe future guest, Luke Baker.
He's incredible. But at the time I really was sold that this was the guy that God had for me. And I remember walking and I was begging God to like make it so clear. Mm-hmm. And I just was really desperate and I really wanted this to happen. And I remember clearly hearing the Lord, like almost a sense. I don't know how to describe when you feel like the Lord is talking to you, but the sense where God was like, no. Mm. And I was like, okay, yeah, right. That's funny. Like, he's a great guy. Why would it be no? And I just felt like he was saying over and over to me, no. And I was like, okay, well, you're not giving me what I want. Why? Mm. You're going to have to prove to me. Mm. And he's going to have to tell me himself. And so immediately right after that, I said that, I got a call from him. Wow. And he was like, hey, can we meet at the library and talk? And he basically let me down easy. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, I'm so glad God did not give me what I wanted at that time, because now I have something so much better. But
oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's a really silly answer.
But,
That's straight up that Tim McGraw song.
I felt desperate at the time.
I'm about to sing a country song again, but
go on, Dave. Go
sometimes
on.
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers.
Amen.
Not that it's unanswered, it's not the answer the way that you want.
Yeah.
But no, I love that you had a thing that you really wanted and you asked for a clear, I mean, what you asked for was clarity. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the Lord gave you that. And you said, let me down easy. I mean, I don't want to get in the room and see what the emotions were like, but I wonder if it would have been an even rougher situation had you not been in conversation with the Lord and heard, like, mm-hmm. you know, when you got that response, you're ready.
Yeah.
To receive
it.
Sure.
He gave me so much peace about it. I was like, great.
It makes me curious about this Canaanite woman, about how she got to an understanding of God, someone who's outside the story of God's people, to say, no, I'm worthy to receive this thing. Mm. And he saw something in her like, oh, you're orienting your life towards me. You're not someone who's just here for a cheap trick. You know, you see Jesus defeating the 5,000. He said, how many of you here are just here to see a musician, and he, or not a musician.
A musician. You're really on your magician, country music vibes today.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus whips out a guitar. That's
yeah. No. Yeah, but there's something.
Didn't happen.
He sensed in her, like, you are seeking the heart of God.
Yeah.
And that, like, I will step off the track, and because these are people, like, after the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
Yeah. There are so many people who, like, do display the heart of God, and I just think it's so beautiful that we can see that all over, not just only in, like, certain practices. So, I don't know. I think it's beautiful. Anyways, y'all, we will leave space for a challenge today. Thing that, like, leave you thinking about. Sarah, do you have a challenge to leave our youth with today?
Sure, yeah. If we are called to be like Jesus and bring kingdom come, Jesus had mercy on someone who, in so many ways, may not have deserved mercy. And so where in your life can you offer mercy and goodness to people who may not deserve it in this world?
That's great. Cool. Yeah, look around. You don't have to look far.
Bullies.
There's going to be people in your life.
Siblings.
Where you're like, oh, yes. Yeah, you got it. Man, I'm going to add to that just because your example just really left an impression on me, Sarah, too. When you're praying to the Lord, speak to the Lord about who he is and what it is, the thing that you feel like you would like to receive from God, just like this Canaanite woman did. I think it's a cool thing anytime we read the Gospels. You can see it from Jesus' point of view, and we're meant to be like Jesus, but also receive it as the people who Jesus interacts with.
Yeah.
And say, like, how they interact with Jesus. And so there's always, like, a double-edged thing to receive there. Sarah, so lovely to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it was my
joy.
This
has been so good. Thanks for coming in.
So sweet. Well, Trinity Youth, we love you. And as always,
peace be with you. Ayo. I think the Bakers are 100%.
They listen to the pod. No, it's true.
It's true.